This is episode 42, recorded on February 10th, 2012. Packard Pokes at More Bang for Your Butt.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And my far right tonight is Eric. I have no thoughts.
And I'm still working on my thoughts.
I'll give you a hammer if that'll help. Maybe you can put them together. And on my far left this evening, and filling in for Dan, is Medusa Rants.
Yeah, I'm wrapping my head tight for tonight, folks. Good evening.
And up on the perch, watching above, just to make sure to who she can pounce on. No, just kidding. Watching us very intently is Vonnie.
That's right. I've got my eyes on you.
That's right.
I'm watching.
I can feel them, man, just burning at me. Ah! I
feel the wrath of Vonnie. That's what my son says, too. He just laughs.
The wrath of Vonnie.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gotta cue that music in there.
Oh, we had some really good stories this week. Hopefully you will find them as fascinating as we have. There's some... well, I don't know if everybody's Mr. Spock anyway, but well, they are quite interesting. So we're going to get going with our first tech story for this evening. Speaking of, Star Trek. If you ever watched the newer episodes, they had a thing. They have not quite newer, but I mean the next generation. They wanted to go get something to eat. They'd go to the wall and they'd tell the computer, "Hey, computer, I would like a steak. I'd like fries. I'd like a salad, whatever, or I'd like a liquor or whatever." And it would go, "Okay," it would materialize these things. And we always thought, you know, hey, these things are going to be, you know, hopefully someday in the future. Well, the future is today. There's a new device. Well, it's not so much new. It's been around for a while. But now they're able to print out whatever to match a piece of, I don't know. Let me put it to you like this. There's a lady. She had her jaw replaced with a titanium jaw, and what they did was they basically made it on the computer and they printed it out. So it's fascinating that we're getting to the age that if we want to make something and we need to have it for our home or whatever, we could just go, okay, get download a pattern and we could print it out. I think that's pretty soon, too long, it'll just materialize out of thin air like it does on the show. Medusa, your thoughts?
My thoughts? Oh, this is kind of like the genie in the bottle. Clap your hands and it's made so.
Yes.
I think that's sort of nifty.
Yes.
Of course, I was called to detention on short notice and to get to read the article fully, but just wanted to get that in there. But I don't know. It worries me in the sense that we have a we want it, we get it now kind of society, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's always such a good thing.
How so?
Well, I think it's great for the lady with the titanium jaw. That's wonderful. But if you're talking about fulfilling the needs of your kids or just, I don't know. So technology moves too fast for me to catch up sometimes.
Technology is moving quite fast, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's moving at lightning speed.
Yes.
And that scares me a little bit. That makes me a little bit paranoid and unclear. And those are my thoughts.
Okay.
Substandard. But those are my thoughts.
All right. Well, that's fine. Vonnie, your thoughts?
I think you need to explain this a little better.
All right.
Me too.
A Belgian company, LaserWise, produced an entire jaw for this lady that she had to have her lower jaw replaced. Uh-huh. So they basically had used selective heaps and metals. Powders, particulates with a laser to construct an object layer by layer using this method. The laser wise to to create a complex shapes that are custom made for patients and that don't require glue or multiple parts. It means it could all be like all in one piece.
Can I change my mind right now?
Yes.
And say that I'm all for this because I need a new hip like yesterday.
There you go. See that.
Now
see,
that's
now you can have
that.
Go ahead.
Is cool. That is cool.
Yeah. See now you can take. You can make your own hip at home and take it to the doctor. Here, can you put this in?
Yes, that's exactly what I would do. I tell my doctor what to do all the time. No, I'm for this. That's great. That's great technology.
Okay.
So this is like prosthetics, but like way better.
Yeah,
even.
Because it can be custom made and custom fit. Instead of having to wait, you know, for it to be manufactured, they can just do it right there on the spot.
Well, that is pretty darn cool indeed.
Yes.
What? Very nice. Very nice. Oh, Michael Jackson. Too bad. Hey, he would have loved this.
He would have kept a few noses around, a couple in the
maybe
in the drawers.
Could have salvaged his nose. It's okay. We got a backup. It's all right.
Reminds me of those South Park episodes. Where he kept losing his nose. I know we're going to get hate mail from the Michael Jackson fans.
Too bad.
We're going to get hate mail from the Michael Jackson fans.
Too bad.
Eric, your thoughts?
I really think this is a cool piece of technology, and I'm thinking about Roger Ebert, who was it jaw cancer?
He had throat cancer.
Yeah, throat cancer. But they had to remove his jaw, essentially.
I think so. I'm not really sure.
I think this would be great for him,
mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe we could have him reviewing movies on television again.
No, that'd be kind of cool. I mean, I kind of missed that show, but, you know, a lot of people always told Siskel and Ebert to sit on their thumbs. Most painful. Our next story this evening is they're saying that Twitter is harder to resist than cigarettes and alcohol. Now, I'm not a Twitter-aholic, but I do spend a lot of time on Twitter. It eats up the boredom times of my day. But I think it's a lot safer than driving or drinking and cigarettes. I mean, at least, you know, I think so anyway. The thing is, they said that they claim that even while that sleep and sex may be stronger urges, people are more likely to give in to longing or cravings to use social media and other media. Like, yeah, I suppose they may count in like Facebook and whatnot. I mean, I can remember quite a few nights, you know, just going, I wonder what people are saying. Every once in a great while, but it's not like I had to have it all the time. It wasn't like a fix because I go sometimes minutes without tweet. No. And in between, I get the shakes. No, I'm just kidding.
That's what Xanax is for.
That's what Xanax is for. I'll have to pick myself up some.
Papa's little helper.
Medusa, your thoughts?
I'm a Twitter-otsy. I'm on Twitter all the time, but I'm always on the couch, and I have a broken hip. I have an excuse. You know, anything's an addiction today. I read an article today, not to get off the topic at all, but they're saying they're making shyness a diagnosis for kids.
Shyness?
Oh, come on. You know, and Twitter addiction. I mean, I guess it depends on how much time you have in your day and what you want to be addicted to.
Yeah.
I don't see getting on any social media site. I mean, unless you're neglecting your family and those nimrods, you know, we'll just assume they exist and I've talked about them and now I'm not talking about them.
Right.
But for the rest of us, it's, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and I want to talk to somebody. I get on Twitter and I can usually find somebody to have a conversation with. And it's relaxing and it's, you know, a great thing to do. You're connecting with people
mm-hmm.
all over the world. As long as it does not interfere with your work or your family responsibilities
right.
or personal responsibilities, I say have at it. That's why we're building all these sites is to use them, know.
Yeah, I agree. You know, another aspect here is that I think that since social media is relatively young, I mean, it's less than 10 years old. It's a new thing. We're getting our hands around it. It's like the first time the telephone came out, you know, people were like, oh, everybody's talking on the telephone. It's, you know,
What if we just said about the phone, don't touch the phone?
Right, exactly. They've been the same thing. People would have been freaking out. It's like, well, I could have used the phone. It's like,
Exactly.
It leveled off, and it's like, now people still talk on the phone. Now it's in their ear with a handheld phone, you know, like an iPhone or BlackBerry or whatever. But we still have the addiction to the phone, but they're not saying, oh, the phone is bad. Now they're saying, oh, it's social media is bad. Twitter is bad. So Twitter is an internet company I'm trying to think of that other social media site that was like
LinkedIn.
Not LinkedIn. It was before Facebook. MySpace. That's it. That's the one. And MySpace came and it was like, oh, everybody's on MySpace. And now who's on MySpace? Nobody.
Teenagers. Surprisingly enough, it's teenagers.
Very few teenagers. You talk to teenagers.
They're starting to navigate over to Twitter.
Yeah, and Facebook. And it's like they go, oh, that was so yesterday. We're on Facebook now. So and the company is basically practically almost falling apart. I mean, before too long, Facebook may be as well. Who knows? It's very strange. Vonnie, your thoughts?
I think we're social creatures, and there's always going to be that attraction. That's why, like you say, the telephone was created in the first place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're social creatures, and I think, like anything, moderation is key, because many people, in fact, I went through my own phase of being so engrossed in the social aspect, being kind of a bit of a social butterfly by nature.
Really, Vonnie?
I love connecting with people. And so for me, it was, it was an addiction. And I really had to get a hold of myself, because I was sneaking in during work time. I was not spending as much quality time with my kid. It was becoming a bit of an issue.
Mm.
And so I think that, like anything else, you need check and balances. And
right.
Moderation is key with anything.
Right.
Right. And so this is no exception to
right.
that. But it's good.
I was going to say, at least you don't have to go up to the guy in the street. You just go up to him, you know, the skulky looking guy, and go, hey, you got a little Twitter for me?
Give me a.
You got a little hit on Twitter? How about a little Facebook? Come on. I need a fix, man. I need a fix.
But, you know, when I see, though, I mean, it might be because of I tend to have a lot of religious stuff go through my thread, considering all the people that I follow, are a lot of them are atheists and such.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of crazy things. I see a lot of very, in my opinion, unstable people on Twitter. And I'm not saying just religious, but a lot of them. And we've had a few stalkers. I've had a few stalkers. I mean, there's a dark side to Twitter and to Facebook and all social media.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think I'm kind of glad that's they're on point. Twitter and not on the street.
I'm sorry, Vonnie. I'll try and stop.
What's that? What?
I said, I'm sorry. I'll try and stop.
Eric, are you stalking Vonnie, Eric?
I wonder if they've done a study about that. Like, how many crazies aren't on the street anymore? They're they're lurking in the corners of their bedrooms. I don't want to know. But anyway,
I have over 2,000 stalkers. They follow me every day on Twitter.
I think though it is a new wave thing and new age thing. And as a parent, I mean, I think that's what actually kind of gave me a wake up call, because I just started thinking, like, wow, I'm really letting this affect my real life.
Yeah.
And I had to find that line, and I had the discussion with my kid, and I don't think it's like he's always playing video games and stuff. And, you know, if it wasn't that, he'd be doing something else. And I kind of like the fact that he's, you know, he plays online with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still socializing with his friends. It's not like he's sitting all by himself. He's still socializing with his friends that he goes to school with.
Yeah.
They all just happen to be at home, respectively, on their computers.
Right.
And you know where they are.
He's safe. Right? I mean,
Right.
But as parents, we need to still interject, and it's good for us too, because for all the parents that moan about their kids and blah blah blah, yeah, they're as they're writing on Facebook, right? Like, they're just as bad,
right?
So we all have to get a grip on this new age stuff, because it is fun and it is addictive. So I think, like I say, we just have to find the moderation and keep it kind of healthy too.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like you said, it's moderation. If you're going to sit there and let everything else around you just disintegrate,
just fall away, yeah.
Yeah, then they might have a problem. Mm-hmm. Well, my house would, if you saw my house, you'd probably say, I think you have a problem. Like, there's everything's everywhere. It's like, no, I'm just lazy.
Well, and I must say, too, with the mobile, like, I am very, very rarely, almost never sitting at my computer. Like, when I'm on Twitter and such, I'm 99% of the time it's on my mobile. So I flutter about and I do whatever and I check and see, and, you know, and it's not like I'm where before the mobiles came out, it was worse, because then we were like kind of fastened to our computers.
Yeah.
At least with the mobile, we can multitask a little bit, but still.
Yeah. I'm kind of fastened to my computer as it is.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I had a weird message for Firefox there. sorry. Let's get into our next topic.
Did we forget Eric?
Oh, no, Eric. That's right. I'm sorry, Eric.
I know. I mean, like I said, it's a conspiracy
I'm sorry.
On this show.
It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
He's paranoid, but clear.
I got your back, Eric.
Eric, your thoughts.
You know, I'm kind of over the whole entire Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this addiction part's a little hard for me to understand. Just because it's like example, Twitter I get frustrated with because I only have 140 characters, and sometimes I want to speak more than 140 characters.
Yeah.
Facebook and Google Plus, I'm running into the same problem, which is basically they track everything and then sell my information without my consent.
Yeah, that's
and they make money off of it when it's my information.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like I really don't like them. And the only reason why I still have a Facebook account, I almost probably get rid of it, but the only reason why I have a Facebook account is because of the chat and everyone who I know is on there. So if I really need to speak to someone, chances are pretty good that I can reach them through there.
Yeah, or to torment me.
Or torment you. But even then, within Twitter, you know, it's like I only have 140 characters to torment you with. I really can't get in edgewise. So... but, you know, like anything in moderation is good. It's whenever we go overboard with it that we start running into problems.
Right.
And you know, as Vonnie said, you know, it's good that we have our kids inside doors and stuff like that, and we know what they're doing, and, you know, they're spending time online with their friends and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's also good for them to get out and interact face-to-face, because in the working world, that's what you have to do. It's not computer-oriented.
Yeah.
Plus, we also have a rising obesity rate. So, and I think personally one of the problems is not so much of what kids are eating as much as kids just aren't.
You don't think they're exercising?
It's exercising, I think, is more of the problem.
Well, if they're on their mobiles and they're able to walk around, I mean, then that would kind of alleviate that, wouldn't it?
But they're not really running, you know, they're not running, they're not exercising, you know, it's like you don't see them playing football as much, and some of it's also the society we live
anyway.
In,
Who
I mean, it's a very dangerous society, or it's becoming that way, I should say, with more crimes and child abduction and stuff like that. I mean, it's reason to be...
More crime, abductions? I mean, if you think they're looking at their Facebook too, they're not paying attention, and they just get, like, kidnapped?
Well, I mean, you know, a five-year-old who isn't being observed outside.
Oh,
you know,
I see what you're
easy
saying.
For them to disappear.
That kind of stuff happened long before Twitter and Facebook came along anyway, so I don't think
and it may just be the news making it more prevalent than what it is.
It's like, I was having a discussion with some fundamentalists a couple months ago, and they were saying all the earthquakes are, you know, the signs of the end times. Like, no, it just seems that way because the earthquakes are just
24-hour news.
Yeah, we get 24-hour news. We get reports of earthquakes. Earthquakes happen all the time, and they're just being reported more. Than before, you know, back many years ago, they just weren't reported unless they were really big earthquakes or happened to happen in your celebrity's town, you know, or Washington, D.C., or in Hollywood, and then they reported it. Now there are reports of earthquakes happen every day, and they're like, oh, the earth is falling apart. No, it's not. It's this is natural stuff. So I don't think it really equate, you know, the fact is that child abduction are going to happen more because people are paying attention to their Facebook. I mean, it's a possibility, yes. But to say that's the main cause, I can't agree with that.
Well, I'm not saying it's a main cause. I'm just saying there are multitudes of reasons, you know?
No, it's always multiples of reasons.
So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I just think it's important that we teach kids moderations, and this is what I'm trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's important for us as adults and parents and stuff like that. Me not being a parent yet, but, you know, some other people.
Get on that, Eric.
Yes, Eric, get on that. We'll wait.
It's important for them to actually have activities outside that go more than just being on a computer.
Well, yeah, I agree. We should, you know, take the kids out when they can, or let the kids go outside if they want to. I mean, there's nothing to stop, usually, unless the parents are, like, real, you know, freaks about their kids walking out two steps outside. I think they're going to get kidnapped immediately. But, you know, you got to let your kids, you know, get outside and play once in a while, too, you know. So anyway, no, but we should get moving on. It's a good discussion.
Politics! Politics!
Charlie White, an Indiana election chief, was found guilty of voter fraud and several other charges as well. I mean,
forging his name.
He apparently lived in one location, and he was registered with his ex-wife at another one. So he's had multiple areas where he shouldn't be living or whatever there. And then the Democrats are trying to say, hey, this guy should not have been elected. So the person he ran against should have gotten the position, and so they're trying to push this through. The Republicans are saying, oh, no, you're just trying to change your political winds. Like, no, you can't put another Republican in place just because your guy was illegally elected to begin with. That you should have been taken out of the race right there, and the person that you were fighting against, or not fighting, but, you know,
running against,
they should get the position. That's how it works. I mean, let's say you got two beauty queens, that's the only thing I can think of. Or no, let's say you have a presidential election in your school, or in a school, rather. And the person who got elected took lunch money or something, so they get outed out. So the person that they're running against gets elected. They don't get to choose the guy that's, you know, oh, this is my buddy over here. He gets to go in my place because, you know, him and I ran on the same platform. No, it doesn't work that way. It's the person you're running against who should get the nomination, not the other way around. But they're suing against this to try to get another Republican to take his place. And it's not, basically, it's blatant not fair. And, it's politics, of course, but it should not be done that way. Medusa, your thoughts?
I think this guy's watched too many episodes of The Sopranos. clearly, this is a frivolous lawsuit that he is not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
He is a felon,
yep.
And he can never be elected to public office again.
He should have been elected to begin with.
No, he should not have been elected to begin with.
Yeah.
And why we're wasting our time, I didn't get to read the entire article, unfortunately, but why we're wasting our time with this frivolous suit is beyond me. I don't know why the judge didn't throw it out. I don't think this is something that's properly, I don't think the proper forum for this is in the courtroom. I think the proper forum for it is, as Packard said, is it's the Democrat that goes in. Or, you know, if it was an independent or a Green Party member who got the most votes, I don't care who it was. If you wrote in Donald Duck, that's the guy who's going in next. If this were a democracy, it would work that way. But unfortunately, this is another example of how we are not exactly a democratic nation. And as a Greek, that depresses the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's becoming this isn't becoming a democratic nation. It's becoming a nation built on lawsuits. And besides, you wonder the thing. I don't think I'd want Donald Duck in office because, you know, who can understand him?
Okay, we'll get his wife in office.
There you go. Get Daisy. She can at least, yes. She at least she can speak.
Yes, I like Daisy Duck. She'll get along with Hillary just fine.
There you go. What are your thoughts?
I had something to deal with here, and I kind of trying to catch up with what you guys are talking about. Can you let Eric go, and then I'll go?
Yeah, sure.
I'm so sorry.
Sure, no problem. Eric, your thoughts?
Yeah, anytime there's any type of political shenanigans, I tend to not favor it, and I really think that if he's found guilty, then he should promptly be removed, and they should put someone in place who's actually going to be fair and just in the decisions and choices that he makes. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I want to know what his defense is. Like, how is he going to sit here and say, you know, this is okay? I really don't. And I'm trying to find in the article to see, but I really don't see it. So I don't know what his defense is. How did he think this was okay?
He thinks, well, we're Republicans in charge, and we can just do whatever we want.
No, I wouldn't go that far. It's about it's political parties trying to maintain power.
Yeah,
And it doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. It's just people with power trying to maintain power.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the only people that get screwed are the people who elect them, the people who they're supposed to represent. And I truly think that that's the problem with our political system. It's no longer about the people. It's about them maintaining power. That's not – I feel as though that's not what our founding fathers fought for. It's not what they wanted. And, you know, I think to a certain degree, the very second we made politics a full-time job, so that's the very day that we lost any representation, because it stopped being something that was part-time that they did because it was a national duty. Mm-hmm. And became something more of, well – it became more of a ruling class versus a non-ruling class.
Yeah, it's
and this is what happens. People get power, and they cheat the system to benefit themselves.
Oh yeah, and this guy definitely was that. And there was an update on this. He was found guilty of 6 of 7 felony charges, including voter fraud, would be one of them. So, a spokesman for the Republican Party said the civil lawsuit filed by Democrats and the criminal charges handed down by a grand jury were separate. So, I think that's what his main contention is, that because that they were separate, he thinks that these items are separate. So, he wants to retain his office based on that alone.
Well, I think anytime you are. I think this is me personally. I think if you are a political leader, a person who creates our laws, mm-hmm. and this goes for any politician, I don't care if the Republican, Democrat, Green Party, or what, if you cannot follow the laws that you are creating or that we are governed by, then you shouldn't be held in office. If you cannot create a policy that benefits everyone, not just certain sects, and then the political party have their own sets of rules or benefits and stuff like that, then I really don't think it should be allowed as any type of law, or that the person should hold any type of office.
Yeah, that's because and here it says Indiana law doesn't allow felons to hold statewide offices at all. So these are felony counts, and he should be removed from office. Vani, did you collect your thoughts?
I did. I collected them.
Good.
I have them all in a little basket.
Oh, I was going to say, I was going to hand you a plate and see if you want to put them on there, and we can take them out as like gummy bears, you know.
Yeah, they kind of look like gummy bears.
Oh, good. I like gummy bears.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of more of the same. Seems like every week we have a discussion about a politician who has done something crooked, corrupt, unlawful.
Yeah, that's why we call this the politics
broom.
Section of the show.
Yeah, we need the biggest broom possible.
Not to interrupt, Vani. I'm sorry I'm interrupting you, Vani. I think the more tragic thing is whenever someone is discovered to be doing something that's a crime, mm-hmm. Louisiana number one. Place that happened, such as William Jefferson, who was found guilty of I think embezzling money, and he was still reelected. I think that is more of a travesty than someone getting busted, arrested, and losing office. To me, it's like, why reelect someone who's a criminal?
Yeah,
does that make sense?
That's what I was kind of getting at, is that we were talking last week about checks and balances, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And accountability. And I think, you know, our government, Canada and the U.S., we expect these politicians to be role models, to represent the people, to practice democracy in the light that democracy has, that we think of, at least, today.
Right.
You know, it seems that there's so much fanfare. I don't know that we're ever really knowing what's even going on anymore, because they have so much fluff at the surface and the media gets hyped into that. And the really important things are being just passed without us even knowing it. There's such brokenness. And I think that that's the brunt of it, is that our politicians, not only are they really, it seems to me, being used as corporate puppets, which should be that just should not be allowed. That has to be changed.
Yeah.
I think also that, as you say, if someone has broken the law before or during their time, we expect these people to be reputable and they should be held accordingly.
Right.
These are our tax dollars, for goodness sakes. And it's our well-being. It's our welfare at the end of the day. And like you say, I think that they should be doing what's best for the well-being of everyone, not just what the loudest group wants, but what is for what works for the best in terms of well-being, health, that kind of thing. That's important.
Right.
And if there's a really loud group, I think y'all know who I'm talking about, that doesn't really care about my well-being, does it make it right because they're louder?
Yeah.
Like, it really should come back to everybody pays taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody lives in a society. We all have to exist here and get along, and it shouldn't be so hard for this concept, but the greed just takes hold. So yeah, I don't know what if there's a broom big enough, but we need to clean things up because it is a mess and it's just getting messier. And like I say, the crazy is coming to Canada too, and I'm kind of scared. Like,
yeah, and you know what's even worse is in that the judge there, he's being asked to reduce all these felonies to a misdemeanor.
Like, no, and that's not right.
No, I don't think it's right either.
It most probably will be, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, I hope not.
There, as you say, Eric, there's the problem.
Yeah, okay. And they're getting away with, you know, oh, you considered a felony. Oh, but we're just going to give you a little slap on the wrist.
And you know, the other sad part is that instead of looking at the criminal side of this, people, you know, the media will get a hold of it. There will be spin to it. They'll try and make it look not as bad as what it really is. And the reality of it is this is a pretty big deal.
Yep, exactly. Speaking of a big deal, going into our next story, that Proposition 8 in California has been overturned. Yay! They found that the voted proposition I found out later that this was pushed mostly by the Mormon Church to get this in place to ban people who had gotten married, gay couples, from being legally wed. And I think this is an excellent turnabout. I mean, this happened in 2008. It's taken this long to get this turned around, but at least it's going in the right direction. And unfortunately, they're saying, can't get married just yet, because this might have to go to the Supreme Court. And that once if it does, and they say, you know, that the ban was unconstitutional, then gay people can get married. And I'm all for that, because they should be, you know, just as miserable as the rest of us. As the rest of us miserable the people we're married. And that's, you know, but if they're not, that's great too. I mean, I have no problem with that. I mean, personally, I don't, being a divorced man, I would not recommend marriage to anybody, gay, straight, or otherwise.
So. Amen.
Marriage, it's a legal document between you, the other person, and the state, and that's all that is. And Eric's the only person on the panel that's about to get remarried, or to get married.
Remarried.
Not remarried. I'm sorry, married for the first
time. I can't get remarried.
It's my turn next, Eric.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's getting married for the first time, rather. But
sucker.
I told him that.
Sorry.
I told him that. I said, congratulations and my condolences all at the same time.
You can hire me as your divorce attorney.
There you go.
I'm going to say that. I have a very lovely fiance.
Wait until you're sitting across the courtroom from them. They're not quite so lovely anymore.
Well, if that will be the case, then I couldn't divorce a better person.
There you go. Just hope she thinks the same way about you. I'm just kidding, Eric. I hope you live have a million year marriage.
I'm gonna prove y'all all wrong. Hopefully.
I hope you do, Eric. I hope you do. I'm to see your thoughts.
Well, you pretty much said everything I wanted to say. Oh. Is that marriage is not all it's cracked up to be. But I was excited. I am in California. This was our battle. Woohoo! We won. The 9th district pulled through. But this is going to SCOTUS. There is no way. And if somebody doesn't know what SCOTUS is, Supreme Court of the United States.
SCOTUS. That's a little piece of skin between your leg and your knee, right? No.
Then your testicles are down there or something. Anyway, that place. That's where it's going. Baby, I'm telling you, it's going straight to SCOTUS because there's too many states that have passed it and there's too many states that haven't passed it.
Yeah.
And so it is still murky waters. I mean, I know they think that we walk on water here in California on our surfboards and skateboards, but as far as coming to making laws that stick in the nation, we're just the 9th district. We're just one district.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's super, but it's not time to lay down your baton or your bayonet. The war is not over. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done. There's still a lot of hate and intolerance in the world, and one victory is not going to cut it, and they have already appealed it. There have been two appeals filed already in the 9th district. So, you know, saddle up, buckle up, and get ready for a bumpy ride, folks.
Yeah.
This ain't over yet.
No, not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. And I personally, I hope they are unable to overturn this because they're correct in this assertion that this is unconstitutional. The only people who are pushing against this are the religious nuts. They're saying it's just one man and one woman. You know, it's ridiculous. This is a country of, we're supposed to be a country of freedoms, but when it comes to, they want their religious freedom, fine, you can have all the religious freedom you want, but when people who are the same gender want to get married, then, we'll give you your freedom, except for what you want, because it's
a piece of paper.
Yes, it is.
It is a legal contract.
Yeah.
They are made and broken thousands of times every day all across the country. If you want to jump in on that bandwagon and get married, go right ahead.
Right.
Knock yourself out.
The religious people that push this, I mean, like Newt Gingrich for one, he's like, they're going to ruin the sanctity of marriage. You're really like, you get married three times? But that's okay. You can get married, divorce. You know, three times.
Oh, no.
But that's not destroying the sanctity of marriage. But two gay guys who love or gay women who love each other and want to get married, that's destroying the sanctity of marriage. Give me a break.
No, it is not destroying the sanctity of marriage. And anyway, marriage is a big business.
Yes, it is.
No matter what you and I think about it, these folks are going to come to the table and they're going to drive the marketing of marriage up even further.
Oh, yeah.
Because their marriages are going to be bigger and better because they've had to wait so long to get married.
Oh, I can just see the layer cakes on those things. Whee!
I have a lot of gay friends, and I'm telling you, they have big weddings.
Do they?
And so it's big money, you know? Let them in. I'm sure that the people who run bridal stores are not going to turn these couples away at all.
Well,
two women coming in and buying $2,000 bridal gowns, you're going to turn that kind of money away?
Actually, no. I remember seeing it online a while back, but somebody actually did a gay couple had gone in to get some either cake or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they turned them. They did turn them down because they said it's against their Christian values. It's like, you turned away this kind of money because of religion? Really? Are you really this stupid?
Please. Are you really that rich? I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what? I'm gonna say this. It's their choice. But at the same time, if you don't agree with what they're doing, then don't go to that shop.
Yeah. But
let your money speak.
Yep.
Let it be that way.
Yeah, but they should.
I'll bet they didn't know though until they got the feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
That's humiliating and embarrassing.
Yes, exactly. Vonnie, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is just ridiculous. We've talked about this many times, but like, this is just such a no-brainer. I mean, we did have these issues in Canada, and oh, I really hope they don't crop up again now that crazy's in town. But this is equal rights. This is human rights. Everyone should have access to the same privileges of well-being and humanity and dignity. There should be no hierarchy. People are people. We're human beings. It's not rocket science, man. Like, it's just like what I was saying before about, you know, which group makes the most noise. Well, so what if XYZ group doesn't agree with same-sex marriage? Like, these are consenting adults. It's a personal matter and none of their business.
Right.
And frankly, I just don't see how it is not criminal, in my opinion. It's criminal to deny these people the same measure of human rights as anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, it's just beyond my comprehension. It's none of my business if two men fall in love. It's none of my business if they're married, and to deny them that just is the most pompous, arrogant, selfish mindset. I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, it's they think that because gay people want to get married, they want to have more rights. It's like, no, they don't want to have more rights. They want to have equal rights.
That's right. Why should any
equal basic human
being have any more privilege to human dignity than any other human being? Like, America, I don't know how many states are still wrestling with this, but if you're listening, America, get out of the Stone Age. Like, women vote now. We don't have slaves anymore, and people of the same
sex. You mean women get to vote
fall
now?
Fall in love every day. Like, hello, 2011.
2011. Yeah, 2011. Yeah, Vonnie, you mean people get to vote now? Are women get to vote now?
Wow. Yes.
Wow. I know I'm in the Northwest, but this is news. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, seriously, though, it's like, oh my goodness, get your head out of the Stone Age.
Exactly.
It's just, wow.
Yeah. I still can't believe we're grappling with these issues in the 21st century.
Yeah.
These should be non-issues, but the
never
religious
been
people
an issue
keep
in the first place.
Are rearing their ugly heads, and they're using their religion as a shield for their bigotry. That's all it boils down to.
Yeah, and that's just really got to stop. It's got to stop.
Absolutely. Eric, your thoughts?
I think everyone knows how I feel about
hot lesbians.
Hot lesbians, of course. I have always been a very strong supporter of a hot lesbian, especially a hot lesbian couple, and any activities they decide to participate in.
So
especially
they,
if they let
so,
me watch.
Except their wedding.
Nope. I'll even take this hit for them. I will go to their wedding and their honeymoon. Gladly. I will do that for them.
Eric, you're such a gentleman to put yourself out there like that. You're going to go to their wedding and the honeymoon. Wow.
I'm supporting the cause. I am doing that for them.
But just for girls, right?
Look. I'm trying to think
Eric
my way out of this
Eric is such a guy.
This is not happening.
Eric is such a guy.
I got a mute.
It's like my mind was right. I'll come back to you on that one. How about we leave it at that?
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, I always.
Well done, Bonnie.
So anyhow, I always said that I think that the state wants to do, because like you said, it's just really a piece of paper. I mean, these guys have been living together. I think the whole entire concept of judgmentalism that comes from people who aren't exactly the most Christian of people is really crazy and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, like you said, you know, we have Newt Gingrich here who's complaining about giving gay people the right to marriage and all that good stuff, but yet he is himself maybe an adulterer and also has had three wives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're in no position to talk about the sanctity of marriage, you right. know? I would more than likely listen to Mitt Romney, surprisingly enough. I would listen to Mitt Romney before I would listen to you. I'm just saying. The, you know, the and really and truly, as I believe, I think that if the state wants to do, like, a civil union, you know, I'm quite okay with that. Because really and truly, the state falls under its own own rules and laws and stuff like that. I just don't think they should go to the churches and suddenly be like, you must marry gay people. It's against their religion. So, you know, as long as they can keep that separate.
I think they should be say, hey, if these people want to get married, they should allow them to. I mean, they shouldn't be they're probably going to also all these people, I'm not saying all of them, some gay people are religious and they want to get married in a church. Mm-hmm. I find nothing wrong with that.
And guess what? I bet you there'll be churches that prop up. There have been churches that come up that deal with that type of thing. But you know, it's like I don't think that they should force something upon people. I don't think that's the way of winning anything. I think it has to be education and process and having people understand.
You know what?
I think that's a better method, because it's like, you know, you always complain about the church going into politics and affecting laws and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that if we're going to have a separation of church and state, it needs to be a separation of church and state.
Well, then I think then if you're going to hold that position, and that's a good position to hold, that then religion should keep its nose out of government completely.
I would venture to say that. I mean, you know, it's like I've always said, religion is a very personal thing, and minus things that, you know, I think it's important that we sit here and say, don't kill anyone, you know, minus things like that. I think that other than that, anything else, you know, we have to kind of be very, very careful of not to let it entrench itself, because there's so many different views, so many different opinions. And, you know, frankly, there are some things in Christianity that's just plain dumb.
Yeah. Really?
You have to look at the whole picture of religion in order to fully understand understand it.
Yeah. Now, this kind of reminds me of an episode of The Simpsons. Last year or sometime, there was Homer became an ordained minister. He was marrying two women, man and a broom. He was just marrying anybody who wanted it. I think once the churches wake up and they see all the money that they're losing, because they, you know, they take a little bit of money on the side, well, a lot of money on the side, to have these weddings being held in their church and the whatnot. They don't just say, oh, yeah, come on, and we'll just, you know, let you have a wedding here. It doesn't work like that. But once they start seeing that the money is flowing away from them, I think they're going to change their doctrine really quick. They're going to go, oh, you know what? We really did mean to let you have gay marriage after all. You want to come to our church, we'll just show us the green. And I think that's what their religion isn't God. It's money.
No.
It's money. It's not God, because when there is no God. But their God is money, and they know what the world runs on, and it runs on money.
Give me the news.
And this one's for you, Eric.
Well, actually, I saw the picture of this lady, and it's really not for me.
Well, the part of the story is, or maybe the second story is, I forget which one I'm doing, but a Port St. Lucie woman is facing DUI charges, and she blames her inability to perform the sobriety test, according to the arrest reports, because she says she has big boobs. She was doing 50 to 35 mile per hour zone and crossed over the double line several times. She obviously had odor on her breath and whatnot, but then they went to give her sobriety test. And it's like, oh, well, my boobs are kind of big, so if I wobble or whatever, it's because, you know, they're kind of in my way and I can't bend over. And it's like, I find this kind of amusing. I mean, my little side note on this, my youngest daughter, she always blames her boobs because she says, I can't see my feet, so I keep tripping on things. Like, it's like, okay, like, I want to hear this, you know? Don't tell me about this kind of stuff. I don't care. They're yours. You deal with them. But this woman is using her breasts.
How very man of you, Packard. How very man of you.
Thank you. She's using her breasts as an excuse. If she would have had, I seriously doubt she would have, if she had small breasts, would have used this excuse. She probably would have used another excuse. Who knows? People just come up with excuses for why they were driving drunk. I mean, or why they won't do their sobriety test properly. There are video. Look on YouTube. You can just type in drunk DUI whatever, and you can find all kinds of people doing their sobriety tests and crashing into the walls or whatever, just falling over. But to use your boobs as an excuse to why you're going to fail, it's got to be the strangest thing I've ever heard. Matusa, your thoughts?
I think I was the aberrant soul that found this nefarious article.
Might have been you. Might have been Chaos Agent. I don't know who.
I don't know, but I saw that woman and I saw those tatas and they were tremendous. They saved her life. And they were.
No, that's the next story.
Oh, that's the next story.
Yeah, this is the woman. Yeah, this is the woman that got charged for DUI, and she said her big boobs were going to be in the way because she couldn't do the sobriety test. That's the one you're thinking of is the next story.
Well, I would have to ask a question before I answer. Then, are they hers? Are they real?
I don't know. They're
fake. I'm told. I don't know. Mine are real. Thank you. That. Men have told me that fake breasts are hard, and
I've never. I couldn't tell you.
Eric, would you like to chime in on this?
I'm pleading the fifth on this.
No,
pleading the fifth. I have to be an educator.
I'll take that as a yes. As a teacher,
I'm not
yes
saying
on
yes
the
or no.
Fifth. Okay, so if those rocks were hard, she could have fallen over. No, they're not going to let her off on this. That's just absurd.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is what working in court, which I used to do, this is the kind of case that makes our day. It's a little ray of sunshine that's going to come into court, make everybody laugh, make everybody happy.
Yeah.
Is she going to get away with this? No. Can you get your day in court? Yeah. Isn't that what makes this country wonderful? No, and I cite the felonious politician that we were talking about who's mm-hmm. Sue Crazy. It's just she is suing. Am I correct?
No. That's something. No, you're thinking of the one that that other story that you were some other time. That one's not in here. That's another story altogether. I have no idea which one you were reading.
I was reading. We spoke about that early about the woman with the
talking about it. I remember us talking about it, but I don't think this is the same one because it says here. And what's funny here is also is that she said that she did the breath test, she insisted that she prayed. She said that she was praying and that I need to relax because she was praying that God is first. The deputy wrote. So.
Oh, never mind. Go to the next person.
Sorry. I'll be sure to give you those files next time in person.
Thank you very much, Packer. That'd be so considerate.
I'll email them to you directly, so that's why there's no more confusion.
More than 3 minutes notice that I'm live on the air. I'm good, but, come on.
No problem. Vonnie, your thoughts?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I don't think he gave us the files until about 3 minutes before the show.
Actually, he's been in there pretty much most of the week, so.
Oh, okay. This week, sure. So let me get this straight. Because she's got big boobs,
mm-hmm.
she's perpetually drunk?
Well, she says she wouldn't be able to do the sobriety test.
Well, then she must be perpetually drunk.
Yeah.
Do her big boobs make her stupid, too?
That's discrimination against small-breasted women. I protest.
Maybe her breasts really weren't that big. Maybe she kept a flask in there, and she had, had a surgery so she could put alcohol in there.
Yeah, she failed to mention the flask.
There you go.
That's what it was. She did have such problems. Give me a break. That's so stupid.
Yeah, no, it's I can't understand why people are blaming their body parts.
I mean, stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really strange. And she doesn't say how big she is. She just said she has big boobs, and that's it.
I don't care how big her boobs are. Boobs do not get in the way of someone's sobriety. Give me a break.
Maybe she thought she was a camel, for alcohol.
It's like saying, I have an ovary, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to pass the test. Like, give me a break.
My ovaries are in the way. I can't move today.
Yeah, sorry. or I wore.
Or I don't have any ovaries, so I can't do it.
You know, that's affecting my sobriety. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no kidding. Eric, your thoughts?
Lame.
Yeah, exactly.
I just summed it up right there. Lame.
Such a Californian attitude.
And he's a
sad dude.
Dude. That's all I got to say. Dude. No other thoughts on that, Eric?
Nope. None. Sometimes brevity is the soul of wit.
There you go.
Indeed.
Our next story here. A teenager, he is suing the place where he was at, the sorority, or not sorority, fraternity, there, because where he was at had lacked a balcony. But while he was there, and he had fallen off this balcony, because he had been drunk, since he was underage, and he thought, well, since I'm drunk, well, I have a good idea. I'm going to take this bottle rocket, and I'm going to launch it from my butt. Or in this case, it says anus. So, so he, instead of launching, it exploded, scared him, and he fell off the where this porch was, which is up in the air and didn't have a railing. So he's suing. So no one's he's not taking personal responsibility for his own actions, which he was there underage. He was there intoxicated, and he shot a rocket into his own behind, and he lit it himself. No one else lit it. He lit it himself, and it exploded. Whose responsibility is it for him falling? Him. Nobody else's fault, just him. He should not have been at this party. He should not have been drinking. He should not have stuck something up his butt that didn't belong there, and should not have lit it on fire. I just couldn't. I saw this. I like, you gotta be kidding me. These people they're just going out of their minds here. Oh, Medusa, your thoughts?
This is the show of lame lawsuits. Again, this is going to be the type of lawsuit that comes into court that would make my day as a judge. I mean, if it's just heard before the judge, the people sitting in the gallery, the bailiffs, everybody's going to go home with a smile on their face. He's not going to win this lawsuit. There's no way. Let me be clear about this. He stuck this projectile up his anus and lit it on fire himself.
Yes.
Is he using his boobs as an excuse?
No, I wish he was using
his penis.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, is he going to blame the alcohol for making him do it? This is completely just, I'm going to go with Eric's last comment on the last article and say, this is really lame, and it doesn't surprise me, because all kids do in college now, apparently, is drink, get sex, get STDs, and go on spring break.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah,
man, their parents buy them lots of nice crap to outfit their rooms with, and that's big business as well.
Yeah.
Education has become big business. So, no, he's not going to win this suit. No way.
No, and he shouldn't, because he's underage. He's sitting down someplace he shouldn't have been. And
he's just going to make some people happy.
Yeah, well, a lawyer happy.
Yeah, you betcha. He's already happy.
Yeah. Vonnie, your thoughts?
So he lit his butt on fire?
He lit a bottle rocket hanging out of his butt on fire.
Get it?
Birds. No, I didn't hear you. Could you repeat it?
I said the stupid bird.
Oh, yes, it does.
Literally. It was dork humor. Stick with me.
You know, the thing is, I saw a story similar to this last year, and the rocket didn't blow up, it went off, but it burned him, this guy, and he had third-degree burns on his butt, and obviously, I don't know what this guy is thinking, this kid is thinking, you know, he's going to reproduce this thing, which go, this kid got third degree burns. Oh, I could do this right. It, you know, alcohol and underage, you know, not a good combination.
I completely forgot about the EMTs and the ER staff. Yeah, he had to pull down his pants and show him his boo-boo on his bobo.
Can I tell you?
I have a boo-boo on my bobo from the Bang Bang. I'm done now. Okay, I'm muting. I'm done.
My the other day there was something about this new drug that's out. Mm-hmm. It's like ecstasy or something, mm-hmm. and apparently it's like instantly addictive. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I'm telling my teenage son about this, and he says, he's like, "Mom, they're all stupid. I mean, why would you take any of it anyway?" And I said, "Well, no, that's true." And I said, "But I mean, the six people so far in the last 10 months or 6 months have died." From this, from this drug. And Spencer said, "You know, I think it's just a way of regulating the population of stupid people." Not to be insensitive, but if you're that stupid. And I'm like, you know, the kid's got a point.
Yeah.
A little bit. You're that dumb, you're going to put a rocket up your butt. Like, come on.
Right.
Really?
That's
what good could come from that?
Right. That kind of reminds me, what you said there kind of reminded me of George Carlin, something George Carlin said, you know, when he said people went down to the beach to spectate a tidal wave. He said, "This is God's way of sweeting out the stupid."
Yeah, well, Spencer said nature's way, but this was a man-made thing, so.
Yeah.
But totally, it's true. It's just like, ugh.
I things go through my mind. I wonder if he had, how far he had it up there that he would cause it to, was he just like dangling it there, or did he really jam it in there, you know?
Oh, I just don't understand.
Packard. Sorry.
Packed it in there, Packard. Sorry.
What size of rocket was it? Was it, were the little ones? Was it a...
I guess you'd have to be a rocket scientist.
Yeah, if he grew up to be a rocket scientist, that would be quite the funny. It's like,
funny.
Aren't you that kid that stuck the rocket up your butt? Yeah, I don't think this kid's on his way to become a rocket scientist. I think
No. Just a hunch.
Eric, your thoughts?
I think that whoever he's suing should be able to countersue for stupidity.
I hope so, too.
Absolutely.
Everybody
sue.
I think as a society, we're moving away from personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to be dumb enough to drink, and first of all, not only drink, but drink to get drunk.
Right.
And as being drunk, decide to do something remarkably stupid, you're going to go ahead and sue someone?
Yeah.
You know, that's almost as dumb as – and the only thing that worries me about this case – is that I always think back to the McDonald's lawsuit with the lady and the coffee that had her between her legs and she burnt herself. And she won money off of it from McDonald's. And it's like, you were the one dumb enough to put it between your legs.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot more to that story. I found out later that there was actually a lot more to that story. I mean, yeah, we sit here and laugh about it. But, you know, that she was seriously injured by the scald, by being scalded like that.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But don't put coffee between your legs.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's hot. You know, it's same thing here. It's a rocket and it's a firecracker. It's hot. Don't put it
That's
between
really
your
hot.
Legs.
You know,
First of all,
it makes
why
you wonder,
do you want to put anything between you? Well, never mind. Get my mouth shut.
I'm just glad you didn't put a sparkler up there. You know, that those get really hot.
You know, it's almost like. I think of Jackass. You know, it's like this is what happens. You know, these people are like, "Well, I saw that in a movie. It was so cool. I think we could totally do it. Yeah, man, let's totally do it. All right, who's the pansy that's going? Who can we convince to do it, man? Hey, let's get T-Dog over there. Yeah, he's a new recruit.
Yeah.
He's drunk enough to do it. Let's see what happens."
You did that that really, really well.
I think, you know,
like he has experience.
Exactly. I was going to say, I think he's done this before. Eric, are you hiding something from us?
No. I've done a lot of convincing in my time.
Like you've taught before.
Why do you think he's a teacher now?
That's right.
Bingo.
A part of being a good teacher is convincing a student to do his work.
Oh, nice. Okay, let's get into our next topic. Oh, yeah. Pat Robertson says that Christians should put their faith before their nationality, but someone questioned him if Muslims are allowed to do the same thing. He said, no, they shouldn't do the same thing. And I actually have an audio clip on here. I hate to put this guy on my show, but you have to hear this and his comments, especially about 10, 15 seconds in. And I was so enraged at some of his comments. I was literally yelling at my computer. I wanted to reach through the computer and slap him. We'll discuss it here more in a moment.
Gerald says, Pat, earlier today you ran a report about Muslims in Spain. The reporter mentioned that 7 out of 10 Muslims there consider themselves to be Muslims first rather than Spanish. It was presented as if it's a bad thing, but is it wrong that they put their religion before their nationality? After all, do you consider yourself to be Christian first or an American?
That's a good question. I consider myself to be Christian first, American second. This Muslim thing is a cultural matter. I don't want to go force women to wear a certain kind of dress and to have certain dietary laws and to marry a certain way. I don't believe in controlling people. And I think good citizenship says if I'm a good Christian, I'll also be a good citizen. If I am under the control of a foreign power, that's a whole different matter. That's what we're talking about here. Are they under the control, the domination mentally of the thought processes that come out of Mecca? And if that's the case, they're not going to be good citizens of Spain. So, no, being a good Christian is ahead of being an American is not a bad thing. Okay, thanks for that question.
Okay, yeah, see, and right there, and he what really set me off on this was he said that he doesn't want to control people. Well, him and his ilk here don't want gay people to get married, and I'm infuriated now. I barely can speak about it. He says he doesn't want to control people, but yet you can't get married because you're gay. That's control. You can't do this because my religion says you can't. You can't believe any other faith except for his religion. That's control. I've got to stop, otherwise I'm going to say something I don't want to say.
Give it over to Mama Medusa, honey.
Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, we know the guy's a royal ass, that's for sure.
Yes, he is.
So that was the one thing that really hung me up.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe in controlling people. His show is controlling people.
Yes.
They are being controlled by what he's saying.
Yes.
So he's a bald-faced liar, first of all. And what he said was, I don't know, I think it's rather treasonous.
Yeah.
You should be an American first, because it's the country you live in that's giving you the liberty to be the arse that you are being.
Yeah.
And I think I can use that word.
Yeah, you can use ass.
I don't get quite so upset with Christians, but I expect them to act in intolerant and disrespectful and dubious ways. So the fact that he has taken the stance doesn't surprise me. It also reveals him to be, he's not even in the closet as a racist. He's quite obviously making a hateful statement,
yep.
Which I would consider a hate crime. That Muslims are so different from us, and that they're going to Mecca. Well, all the Christians are going to Jerusalem.
Yeah, you know, I have no love for Muslims either. But if they want to believe that stuff, you know, that's up to them. I mean, the same thing with
right.
Christians.
I've got Muslim friends.
Exactly. I fight them tooth and nail on the particulars of their faith. I mean, I don't know as much about their Muslim faith, the Quran, as I do the Christian Bible. I more up to date on that. The other one, I'm not quite so much up to date. So if someone want to tell me that, they could probably, you know, kick my ass intellectually there. But hopefully they just don't leave their bombs at home. No, just kidding.
If he's this blatantly hateful on the air, I wonder what he says about people of color. How racist is he? How hateful is he? Is it just gays and Muslims?
Yeah.
It stands to follow with me. If it's one group, it's every group.
Yeah. Oh, there was also, it reminds me of a video I saw him last year, I believe, where somebody had called, wrote a letter to him saying, well, I'm involved with this person, but they're an atheist and I'm a Christian. And he says, because they're an atheist, you should not be dating them. You should break it off. You should go find yourself somebody else because they don't believe in God. It's the same thing. He's saying, I don't control people. That's control. And he's two-faced and a blatant liar all the way around. All the way around. I'm getting ready to go on a tear here. Before I do, Bonnie, your thoughts.
It's funny, I was just having, well, this reminds me of a conversation I had with my son tonight, because he was telling me, he has a group of friends, mm-hmm. and of course, like, we're really multicultured here, so it's, but at least half the group of his friends are Muslim, mm-hmm. and then there's a mix of race, you know? Mm-hmm. Probably half though are Muslim, and I'm telling you, every Muslim I've ever met, like without exception, have been gracious people. They have been loving people. I've never met this stereotype that I always hear about from America. If they're out there, I've never met one.
and then
of course there are other kids of different races. And Spencer, actually, they joke he's the token white boy, actually. And they have a token black guy, and like they're just so mixed. And he is actually the only one in his group, and it's only a group of, I think, seven boys.
Yeah.
And he's the only one that doesn't believe in a God. But he's not the only one amongst the group. Like, there's more than one belief of more than one God within this group. So it's kind of an interesting mix of kids. And they don't care. And they even talk about it. They even, he's talked to his Muslim friends, especially, I can't remember his name, but they were really having a good discussion about it, and not to debate one another, which is what I actually admired about this conversation they had. It was actually to learn about. And they didn't realize they were doing it. When he was telling me about it, I was just like, my eyes were lighting up. I was smiling because the way in which that conversation played out wasn't a debate of who was right or wrong. It was a debate of understanding. It was, let me understand where you're coming from. And, you know, if I were to sum it up, that's kind of how it played out. And in the end, they were all like, oh, cool, okay, and nodding their heads. And they went about their merry way. They don't care.
Yeah.
And I think that we could really take some lessons from our kids, because that's the message. As strongly as I speak for atheism, I speak even more strongly for equality and tolerance and peace. And I think that's the message we should be sending our kids. This man is awful. He's a terrible role model for kids, because
I think he's a terrible role model for human beings.
Yes, because, yeah, exactly. And you know, at the end of the day, this is what my son basically, that what they kind of came to the conclusion that, believe whatever you want, but a person's well-being and the well-being of others, like coexisting and finding peace among difference, is more important than anything else. Why would you let something as trivial in the scheme of life? Belief is so trivial, and when people try to jazz it up and make it more than what it needs to be, we get these needless rifts, and it's just so needless. So you believe whatever you want. And if the Muslims want to, you know, they have their culture. I think that the Muslim culture is not the only culture and not the only religion that needs to be cleaned up in terms of well-being.
Right.
So he has no right to point his finger, because I would not consider Christianity in its roots anything close to civil.
Oh,
so,
yeah, there is.
I mean, you can have civil Christians, but if we're talking about Christianity, no. It's different, but no better or worse.
Well, I would say same. I don't know about that. I would say if with the history of religion and the Christianity, especially, and the death and destruction it's caused in the name of Christianity, I would say they're as bad. They're
yeah,
a lot of terms now as Christian terrorists out there. So
yeah, like they might have their, the methods might be different, but the results have been the same, and they have no right to point their finger. It's the pot meat kettle much,
Yeah, exactly. Eric, your thoughts?
I am with Vonnie. I think she summed up best pretty much how I feel. We have to remember that even as Christians, we need to be understanding. And I've always said this, the best way of turning people to your side, if you plan on doing it, isn't through hatred, isn't through separatism, isn't through keeping things distant, and basically an isolationist kind of purview. Yeah, it's more of the, bringing in cultures, discussing it, not necessarily debating it, kind of like what we do here. It's like, y'all are atheists, I'm Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that we don't get along. It doesn't mean we can't talk, and it doesn't mean we can't discuss our beliefs and things of that sort, or why we don't believe in certain things, or why we do believe in certain things. It's just, it's all about understanding, and I really think that's what it's about,
Can I say something to you, Eric? Because I do admire something about you as a Christian, and I speak for the other Christians that I know as well, because I don't associate with people who are intolerant. So that, if I know a Christian or a Muslim or any kind of religious person, it's going to be a tolerant one. And I must say, I admire about you is that you are willing to admit the faults. You are willing to say there are things about Christianity that need to be cleaned up. There are problems there. And I like the fact that you don't take it personally. You didn't create Christianity. You were born into Christianity. And I like that you don't assume a personal offense from it. You, like, at least you have the sense to say, yes, it is a religion. And no, it's not perfect. Because that really allows other people to get closer to you in the sense, too. Because if being nice and loving is one thing, but if you're not willing to have a really honest conversation, then you're going to hit a wall too, and you're at least honest about it.
I agree there.
Well, I try to be.
Eric's the token Christian on the show.
I'm the token Christian. That's right, and the token right winger.
That's right.
I do double duty.
He wears a lot of hats on the show.
but it's one of those things, and I do find it funny that he's sitting here talking about him being a Christian first and American second. And then, he goes off on this rant about Muslims. And are there problems within the Muslim religion? Yes. But are all Muslims bad? No.
Yeah.
It's like I teach Muslims regularly at school, and they're good kids. And, it's like I haven't had a problem with them. Unfortunately, that which the media portrays is the far-reaching thing. It's almost like, and I'm going to use both examples. It's almost like every time Fox News talks about a Democrat, they always pull the craziest of the Democrats out. And every time MSNBC pulls out a Republican, they pull out the craziest of Republicans. And they sit there and say, this is an example of either.
Right.
And the reality of the situation is that most people are kind of in the middle.
I was going to say, most of those Republicans that are the ones that show up on the news, that are the crazy ones, usually are the ones that get the jump in this limelight. All on their own. Michelle Bachmann comes to mind.
Michelle Bachmann, and it's like on the other side sometimes, John Kerry, and let's not forget Edwards.
John Edwards?
John Edwards. It's like I always want to call him Edward Kennedy, but it's not. It's John Edwards. And Joe Biden, perfect example right there, Joe Biden. It's like it's be understanding. Realize that, there's a lot to this world. There's a lot that we don't understand. And it's like I always say, one of the biggest tenets of the Bible is, ye who is without sin, cast the first stone. We all have problems. It's like if you really look at the Bible, there's some issues in there. There's some true problems. And,
the problem with that, the only problem with that, Eric, is a lot of these people, they especially with not you specifically, but I mean a lot of the Republicans, they think that they are sinless, so they can feel like they can cast stones, be the ones that cast the first stone. They take that to heart. They go, I'm going to cast the first stone because, hey, I'm perfect. And none of you people, because I'm rich and you're not, and I'm perfect. So, you know.
Well, I think the true thing is this. It's not, it's okay to expect more from people. That's okay. The problem is that when people fall, don't cast them away. Help them up, you know.
Yeah.
Help them at least get back up on their feet. And at that, and you know, if they screw up again after you help them, guess what? They're on their own. But at least put forth some effort, you know. We were just finishing talking about this I was talking to this with a friend of mine, and we were talking about, you know, sometimes with teachers and stuff like that, they, you know, it's like they become so rigid that they forget that, you know, kids can't help out, can't help everything in their lives, you know.
Yeah.
Some things are left up to their parents. I'll give you a prime example. You know, I gave out signed papers, and I expect my signed papers not back the next day.
Right.
And sometimes students don't turn them in, and I give them what's called lunch detention, which is kind of like a 15-minute timeout. They don't get to go outside and play for 15 minutes, and you know, it's a punishment. It's a form of punishment.
Yeah.
And
I used to have teachers like that. I always, it's like, oh, you can't let me go and play for 15 minutes? Oh, I'm going to be so pissed.
But it's part of a lesson. And the thing is that, you know, and here's the thing, you know, I had two kids who showed their parents paper, which is really what's the goal in sign papers? That their parents know where the kids are.
Right.
You know, that they know if they're failing or if they're passing, if they are having problems, where the difficulties are. You know, so let them see what they're doing in class. And so I got an email and a note back from one saying, look, you know, and I had two kids who didn't turn them in, and, you know, I assigned them the lunch detention. And next day I got a note saying, look, you know, it's really our fault. We didn't sign the papers, so on. And I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to penalize you for what your parents did.
All right. Well, let me ask you this something, Eric. You said that if they don't turn it in because the parents, the child didn't turn in the paperwork, and so you've punished the child. But then you get a hold of the parents after the fact, after the child's already been punished, because they said, hey, it was our fault. What do you do for the kid after the fact, that if you've already punished him for something he had no control over?
Well, like, what do you mean? Because, I mean,
it's basically that. All right, let's say, like I said, he brings in the paperwork, he says, I didn't get this signed, and you punish him for the 15 minutes. And then you find out the next day by email, whatever, that the parents were unable to sign because they forgot or whatever, but you've already punished the kid for that day. So what do you do to you can't unpunish the child, obviously.
Right.
But, I mean, what do you do to compensate the child for you screwing up, for not, you know, waiting for
– you're making a mistake. Don't say screwing up. It's a mistake.
Right.
And it depends on evidence, because, I mean, you know, it's like if I don't have all, you know, it's like I don't know what's going on. A kid can come and feed me a lie.
Right. Oh, yeah, I understand that.
So, you know, I don't want it to make it sound like I screwed up as much. It's just, you know, it depends on the circumstance.
Right.
First of all, I don't give lunch detention day. I've always wait a day.
Yeah.
So that way that at least they have time to go home, and, you know, parents have time to respond to whatever.
So you give them a lunch time before you
right. It's not like I'm like, oh, you get it today. No, it's the next day. The next day they go. If I made a mistake, like, I mean, so far it hasn't happened.
But what if it does? What would you do?
I mean, I would have to figure out a way of making up to the kid. You know, I mean,
that's what I'm talking about.
I know I can't. Huh?
That's what I'm talking about. What would you do to make up for the kid?
I mean, I would have to think about it. You know, I would.
Well, now you just have to think about it.
We have kind of like a reward system. There's a new. I don't know if y'all are aware, but there's positive behavior going on, and if you do something positive, you get rewarded little tickets, and you can trade it in for certain things. So maybe
I've been out of school too long, Eric.
it's to promote positive behavior
whenever you do something good.
I don't know. We've gone completely off the rails here.
I think so.
Rat hole. Where's that rat hole?
I am shopping.
I need a little bell.
We need a bell for the. We should get.
My bad.
No problem.
It's me. It's me. I did it. I take blame.
Eric took us off the rails.
Yes.
Party pooper. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was kind of wondering where we were going. But anyway. Our next story here, a little bit more onto the serious side. A Missouri teen describes killing a girl, age 9. She was 15 at the time, as an enjoyable experience before heading to church. She was 15 years old at the time of Elizabeth's murder in the small town of St. Martin's, just west of Jefferson City. Evidence presented during her hearing revealed that she dug a shallow grave in the woods several days in advance, and then she used her younger sister to lure Elizabeth, the 9-year-old girl, out of her home with an invitation to play. Bustamine, who had a knife hidden in her backpack, said she had a surprise for Elizabeth in the forest. The surprise to be turned out to be her own demise. She was quoted, "I strangled them and slit their throats and stabbed them. Now they're dead," she wrote in her diary, which read in a court by a handwriting expert, said, "I don't know how to feel at the moment," or ATM. "It was amazing. As soon as I get over this, over the, oh my God, I can't do this feeling, it's pretty much enjoyable. I'm kind of nervous and shaky, though, right now. Okay, got to go to church now," laugh out loud. So she had, and it turns out this girl is from a Mormon family. So just because you're religious, and you come from a religious family, doesn't mean you're going to be any better or any worse than anybody else. People seem to think that because of their religion, Mormonism, Catholicism, Lutheranism, Buddhism, whatever, there is something dark in everybody. It's just a matter of controlling it. And religion is not the answer to control it. In fact, religion, it's the key to open that door in many cases. If you actually read the Bible, there is thousands and thousands of people are murdered in the name of religion itself. I mean, not that she was going to clarify. Not that she did this in the name of religion, just the fact that she was religious in. She was religious, but I'm just saying that they're not using religion as an excuse. I'm just saying you don't, just because you're religious doesn't make you a better person. This is a very sad story about this child who killed this other child. And I'm not 100% blaming religion, but the fact is that she said, "Well, hey, I'm gonna go to church now. Ha ha. You know, I killed somebody. Big deal. You know, it's." It bothered this. The whole story bothered me. But then she was later convicted, and she later added, "If I could give my life up back to her, I would. I'm sorry." However, you know, she's got to spend the next 35. I believe it was the next 35 years in prison, or it was life. I forget which one of the two. One said life. One said 35 years. I'm not really sure. But she's going to be spending a long time in jail. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well,
stop shopping.
Great big tragedy.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned. I'm sure if I were in the presence of that child, I would feel like I was in the presence of true evil. After what you just read that came out of her diary, I didn't have a chance to read the article myself. And I hesitate to throw away a young life. And I'm sure that Eric is the teacher, and Vonnie being so compassionate as well, towards people, forgiving. But I would say throw away the key. This person is broken. That is just such a... I don't think it has anything to do with religion at all. She's not... She didn't attempt to justify what she did by making that comment. She was just letting everybody know how meaningless somebody else's life is to her.
Yeah, that's...
And
that's,
how
that's
she
little,
can go...
I'm sorry, Vonnie. Or Medusa. That's what I'm saying is that... People who have, you know, the religion, they think life is sacred. Apparently, in this instance, she didn't. She didn't have that feeling for.
Well, I had to go to church when I was her age too, and let me tell you, I was not terribly religious, but I wasn't going around killing people either. So
you mean you didn't kill anybody?
Just because you're, well, not that I'm telling about on the air. But my tomatoes look wonderful in the hothouse.
Oh, that's good.
But I mean, I don't think any kid who's 15 likes to go to church. And if they do, there's something wrong with them. Sorry, Eric.
I see how it is.
Yeah, that's right, babe. Straight up. Wiki wiki. My kid is not religious at all. No, she can't. There's no way that you would be able to justify that. But I just look at this as a great tragedy in the sense that this child should never be let out again,
right,
ever, for any reason.
Exactly.
Just throw the key away. We've lost a soul. They're gone now.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of how I feel about it. I don't.
They were saying there was they argued that she was on medication, and that was the reason why she did it. But another psychiatrist.
Well,
that's
a more valid argument than religion is, because
I was going to say though, but another another psychiatrist testified to the opposite and said, and that the judge overruled that the medication was the cause.
Well, you talk to a good shrink, and they're going to tell you that a teenager is halfway between a psychotic and a sociopath in the DSM. We just don't know where their brains are at. They're still growing. They're still functioning.
Yeah.
And synapses are being connected every day. No, it's just a real tragedy. It just makes me sad, very sad.
Yeah. I imagine so. Vonnie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you, Medusa, that I'm not sure we can point to religion as the cause for this one. The fact that she was so cold about this, and the fact that, I mean, she didn't even say, like, sorry, God, nothing in her Bible. It wasn't even like she was going to go, you know, pray for forgiveness. Not that she made no mention of remorse. And it just seems like one of those people who, you know, are better off in jail. And sadly, you know, a little girl had to die for us to know that. But
yeah,
not all cold-hearted murderers are religious. Some people are just, as Medusa says, broken. It's sad, but there's no intelligent design, I'm afraid to say. Our brains don't go through God's little toy shop for inspection before we're born.
That's exactly
and,
it.
You know, and some of us are born defected. Some of us are missing arms or sight or a leg, and some of us are born with a real keen want. And some of us are born with the want to hurt other people, and some of us are born without empathy and compassion, and that's just the way life goes sometimes. There's not always a deep-seated reason behind it. Some people are just seriously just broken.
Yeah, it's.
I think this is one of those cases, and it's sad that that's life, though. That's just the way, unfortunately, it goes. And I'm sorry a little girl had to die, but I'm not sorry that she's in jail, because I think that's the safest place that she can be.
Yeah, she needs to stay. She needs to be in jail for this is not right. I mean, I know teenagers their brains are not developed, and they got so much going on electrically. I mean, they got neurons firing every which way, so they don't know what's the right choice. This should have been, you know, one of their obviously she was not, I don't know if she was religious or not. Obviously she was religious to some degree, because she said, I got to go to church, you know. But The thing is, though, you would have said, hey, parents, I think maybe partially to blame here, because, hey, one of our signs says, do not kill. So maybe they didn't tell her, I guess. I don't know.
Well, how many religious people have killed? I mean,
exactly.
I think we all know that the Bible is a book, and that's as far as it goes. Like, it, you know, people are not compelled in that way. If anything, they're compelled to do the dirty deeds of the Bible, opposed to upholding the good, the small little kernels of good that the Bible might offer. I don't know that, Packard, with all due respect, that it's fair to blame the parents. She was very young and very, I think she had psychological issues that, how could they have known? How would you know that your daughter was just going to one day lure a little 9-year-old into the woods and kill her?
Well, I think, like, that if they were paying attention to,
how would you know that?
I mean.
Yeah, but sometimes regardless of, they could have the best parents in the world.
Oh,
yeah.
Sometimes.
I don't think they're fully to blame.
Partially to blame, just a little bit.
I don't know how they could be partially to blame when people are this type of person that we're talking about.
This flawed.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered if she lived with the Brady Bunch. That's right, Medusa. Like, this is a psychological brain issue we're talking about here. This isn't just because she was raised a certain way. It takes an amazing amount of this or that or this or that to actually kill a person. She calculated this. She dug a grave. She lured the girl. This wasn't a rage of passion. This wasn't a rage of anything. It was calculated. Mm-hmm. And that's what...
Good point.
People who are psychologically damaged in this way will never be able to offer the rest of society any kind of safety, because it's a psychological thing, and it wouldn't matter who raised her. She has issues that are so beyond correction in behavior ways. And oftentimes, people in this type of person would seem on the outside like the most stable and put together person you've ever seen. She mm-hmm. might have even been the perfect daughter, and they never saw it coming, and that's very typical.
I guess I kind of have to agree on some of that there. Some of the stuff can
I
be
think
remain
without
hidden.
Knowing the whole story, it's just not fair to really do that, because you know what, those parents are probably already suffering unimaginably already,
yeah.
And I'd put money on it that they never saw it coming.
Yeah, it's a very sad story, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, we have to cover these things, unfortunately. Eric, your thoughts?
Since I was long winded last time, I'm going to be a little less long winded. I agree with Vani. And Medusa, because she said pretty much the same thing.
Tonight is Eric's night for short responses.
Lame. Woot. Yes.
Lame. Yes. No. Yes.
All those and above.
Our funny tweet tonight comes from Embellishment. That's Embellishment. And he says, next time you see a cop driving while on the phone, pull up next to him, glare, and pretend you're writing down their info. I actually had a moment like this just the other day on my way to work. I had a cop. He went by me. He came up behind me. And he was speeding. He sped past me up to the red light. He waited at the red light. I pulled up, you know, doing the speed limit. And then we get going. I get going first because he wasn't paying attention or something. And then he just started speeding down to get back to the office. And I was thinking, I could just do that. Look over and go, pretend like I was ready. But I was on my way to work, and I didn't want to get pulled over. If I would have had the time, I would have done it. I would have said, okay, Mr. Cop, I guess I'm going to talk to your superiors about your speed around. But this is your thoughts.
Oh, my God. I don't have any thoughts about that. That's... just I would never be crazy enough to do that. I know most of the cops in this town. They would definitely arrest me.
Medusa, let's you and I have a little talk.
Yeah, I had a few domestic disturbances where I had the popo man over there, but I also nursed a lot of the popo men. And I worked as a nurse at Workman's Comp, so
oh, really?
I'm sure I yeah. One got bit in the ass by his popo dog.
Ooh.
That was really bad.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. He had a cute little tushy though. Just saying, we had to look at it, you know. Jeez,
well,
that was
worth
a hard
it, right?
Day. Two or three nurses had to look at it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And it wasn't just for medical reasons, I bet. We need to see your bite.
He was more than happy to comply with us. He was very cute.
Oh, and these sweet. Women want to see my butt. Woohoo!
Oh, absolutely. Sweet and accommodating. It was pink and luscious. Sewed up. God, Frankenbutt. And Frankenbutt is what he had.
Oh, we're going to have to definitely get you on that next podcast, the one Sex Talk with Medusa.
My God. All my dirty secrets are tumbling out of Pandora's box. Got me.
Funny your thoughts.
I have my own tactic for handling police officers.
Oh, really?
Already. Yeah, it involves a lot of smiling and crooking my head to one side. Works for me.
I wish I had that ability.
Oh, too bad you don't. It sucks to be you. plus, I follow the rule I don't use my cell phone. I have a hands-free, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm a good girl.
You didn't necessarily have to pull out your cell phone. You could just hold your hand out and go, okay, you know, just pretend like you're writing something.
Yeah.
That'll get their attention.
It's like, good day, officer. Did I do something wrong? Blink, blink, blink. Smile, smile, blink.
I wish I could pull that one off too, Bonnie.
Yeah, it's a gift.
Oh, Eric, your thoughts?
I have none. I'm trying to think of how to top Bonnie, and I can't. I don't have any fun little things like blink, blink. Odd.
Eric wants big breasts. That's what he wants.
If Eric had big breasts, I don't think he'd leave home.
I don't think I would be on the podcast right now.
I'd be featured as the topic, but.
Oh, let's get into our next topic.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out this week is for Perturb Secular by Vonnie. It's PerturbSecular. Vonnie, could you tell us a little bit about Perturb Secular?
He's a secular humanist, ex-astrophysicist, and a sarcastic bugger. That's what it says on his bio. He is very much a scientist, and he is just always giving me helpful links to things about science because he knows that I'm so eager to learn, and I really appreciate it. And he's very witty and very clever, and I really like him. Oh. His name is Simon.
Oh, cool. Well, his last name's not Pyman. Never mind, sir. Sorry, that's bad. I haven't thought of that.
That's Packard _ Sonic Sucks
at yahoo.com, yeah. Oh. Well, all right, we're going to move into our question of the week. And I actually have a new sound. I finally got myself together and got us a new sound for that. Here it is.
Excuse me.
I have a question.
I have a question.
I have a question, sir.
What are you doing? I'm asking you a question.
Love it!
I like that!
How many Star Trek references are in there?
Actually, there's only two.
Yes.
Actually, there's only two.
I like it a lot.
Thank you. Our question from last week was from the third, and that was, if you could legalize anything, what would it be? And the replies we had, we only had a few.
But how many marijuana?
That was mostly Dan's. We had one from Wizard of Todd, and he said, I would legalize the use of thermonuclear weapons for personal fireworks displays. Funny how we were just talking about having the firework up that kid's butt. If he had a thermonuclear device, I don't think we'd be worried about being in court. That's just my little comment on there. We had one from Joe Unseen, and his was a little bit more straightforward. He says, living in New York, I have to drive to Pennsylvania every spring and risk getting caught just so I can enjoy fireworks at home on the 4th of July. So I would, if I could legalize anything, I would legalize fireworks. They should be, of course, be age-restricted so minors cannot buy them. When I use home fireworks over the holidays, I use long-reach lighters, safety glasses, and thick work gloves. So if they were legal around here, I think it would be great if the local fire departments offered fireworks safety classes. You know, it's so funny that we had two replies about fireworks, and we had the story about the firework of the guy and that kid's butt. It was totally by accident. So
you're really anal tonight.
Yeah.
There you go. Show title.
What's that?
Really,
sorry, that just came out backwards. Keep going back to the anus. I'm going to go back to the other orifice.
Apparently
the
womb so.
With a view.
Okay, our question for this week is, if you could hang out with any cartoon character, who would it be? Medusa, if you could hang out with any cartoon character, who would it be?
I don't think anybody's going to get this one. I would hang out with Heifer.
Heifer.
From Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, I love that guy. He's a little
he's
slow,
totally
though.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a little slow, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mr. and Mrs. Big Head Next Door.
Yep.
Gay Chameleons. I love that show.
Yeah, that was funny. It's been years since I've seen that show, but I know exactly who you're talking about. Vonnie, if you could hang out with any cartoon character, who would it be?
I don't know. The Roadrunner, maybe.
Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
How would you keep up with him?
I would ride on his back.
Oh.
I knew she was going to say that. I had a psychic moment, and then it came out of her mouth.
Went from psychic to telepathic.
There you go.
Like that, baby.
I got the need for speed.
Yeah, of course, everywhere you went, the roads would fly up in the air, you know.
Yeah.
Wiley Coyote after you.
Yeah, Wiley Coyote. You'd have to deal with him, too, I suppose.
He's as dumb as a sack of hammer. We're okay there.
That's why he carries the card said, Wiley Coyote, super genius.
More bombs, Packard. More things blowing up.
There you go. More fireworks. Eat at Joe's.
Ishka-dishka.
We'll make a small modification. Eat at Eric's.
There you go.
Oh, Eric, who would you, if you could hang out with any cartoon character, who would you hang out with?
Oh, man, this one's a hard one for me. As a cartoon connoisseur from the 80s, let's see, there would be the Thundercats, G.I. Joe, Optimus Prime.
Pick one.
Man.
Didn't fall off the planet there, did you, Eric?
No, I'm thinking there's so
serious.
Many. What?
This is serious.
You, there's so many you could just hang out with.
I bet you had like a bathtub full.
I know.
Full of
Daisy May.
Who's that?
Daisy May.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I can definitely see you with Optimus Prime, Eric. I really could.
All right, we'll go with Optimus Prime. I'm okay with that one. Don't even get me into the Star Wars characters because, you know, there's a whole slew of them there.
They're not cartoons.
They actually did do a cartoon version of that one.
Booyah!
I know I've seen him. At least he didn't say he was going to hang out with He-Man.
No, I'm not going to say it because I have a good one for it. I don't want the hate mail.
Right. If I was to hang out with any cartoon character, it would be Inspector Gadget because I'd be trying to find a way to hack him so I could like try to make his stuff actually work.
Yeah.
go Gadget. Of course, knowing my luck, I'd rewire something wrong and he'd say go Gadget hat and his that happened anyway. So.
I'm sure he would say go something.
Go something, yeah. It didn't matter. He'd probably explode. Oops. Don't put me in charge anymore. So if you want to get those answers, you can email them to packardpokes@gmail.com, or if you want to send them to us here at Twitter, and we'll read those to you on our show for next week. Medusa on Twitter as
Medusa Rants, MEDUSA RANTZ.
Right. And you can reach Vonnie on Twitter as
Evolution Child, EVOLUTION _CHILD.
Yes. And you can reach Eric on Twitter as
I have no thoughts. IHAVENOTHOUGHTS.
Right. And you can reach me on Twitter as Packard_Sonic. That's PACKARD_SONIC. You can also reach me on my other Twitter, which is Packard Sonic, all one word. You can reach the show notes for the show anyway on Twitter as PackardPokesAt, all one word. And you can reach the show notes for the rest of the show at PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com. And while you're there, please hit that donation button. It would really help to keep the show going. If you really like the show, donate $1, $10, $20, whatever you feel the show is worth to you. Because keeps the powers on, keeps the electricity going, and keeps the internet flowing. So,
or if you want to shut up the show, please donate $1 million in each of our names, and we will gladly shut up.
Absolutely, you give me $1 million, I'll go away tomorrow.
Just kidding. All gonna get Swiss bank accounts.
There you go.
Well, sometimes you just have to think big.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what. Make it $2
million.
That's why
I'm being a Republican at the show.
That's right. Well, make it $2 million just in case, because you know that way we can at least we can at least pay the taxes and we'll have at least $1 million left.
Good way of thinking.
I'm not greedy. I'm just being.
You guys have to pay taxes if you like win the lottery or something.
Yeah, you do.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! The
government will take money from you any way it can.
Absolutely.
If you win $1 million, you get $1 million, and you don't have to pay the taxes on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that must be. I'm gonna come. I start playing the lottery up there, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Of course, I'd come back here, and they say, "We want our cut." I'm gonna go. Who are you?
Wow. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does. Well, anyway, that's it for us tonight. This has been Packer Pokes at. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Funny.
Oops, I was on mute. Sorry, officer.